Good evening. Appreciate the opportunity to stand before you once again. I appreciate the prayer. I know it seems like we always say that, but I mean it. I do appreciate the prayers. You know, I just one of those things that I just, you'd like to know that there's somebody that's praying for you. It's such an encouragement, and it should be something that we should never take lightly if somebody asks us to pray for it. And if you haven't guessed by now, my subject on my mind this night is prayer. It's prayer. Is it really that important? Oh, absolutely it is. That's one of I love that song that we opened the service with, "The Hour of Prayer Once More Is Come." It says, "The hour of prayer once more has come, once more, O Lord, we meet. Thanks to thy name, there yet is room to bow beneath thy feet. Our God, our hope, our heavenly friend, our Father and our all, our first great cause and last great end, on thee for help we call." You know, there's two more verses and they're very good. But I don't want to preach out of a song book. I want to come from the Bible. What does the Bible tell us about prayer? Well, first, I think every time I mention prayer, anytime I'm thinking about prayer, the first verse is James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Don't overlook that word "much." It doesn't avail little, it doesn't avail sparingly, it avails much. Why does the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much? Because it's heard from the God who has all power, who can do all things, who can heal all manner of disease, who can do all things. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man. And why is that man righteous or woman? Because the righteousness of Christ. So we see this verse is not just for everybody. Effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man. I tell you, if it doesn't matter how far you've gone, how much you've strayed, how terrible you feel, the condition that you're in. If you feel like you need to call upon God, that's just evidence that he's dwelling within us. That should give us a great cause. And prayer should be our first great cause, right? We should be calling to God first and foremost. I love to think about over in Daniel chapter 6 how Daniel, when they had done all that trickery for the king and made him sign that decree that what Daniel was going to do was going to be illegal. And it says that Daniel, knowing that it had been signed, knew full well that it had been signed. Did he go run and hide? No, he went to his chambers, his windows being open, and knelt down on his knees 3 times a day. And I'm like you, Daddy. I'm pretty sure he prayed more than 3 times a day. But he made a special effort to those 3 times a day. And he prayed as he did aforetime. We shouldn't use the Lord like a spare tire. You know, when trouble comes, oh, I need to be praying. Well, you can pray in times of trouble because he hears. But prayer is something we should be practicing each and every day. So the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, because we pray to the God who can do much. You know, one of the best examples we have of prayer and why we should pray is our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his earthly ministry, in this life that we have in Scripture, he spent much time in prayer. He has all power in heaven and earth, the Son of God. But even he spent much time in prayer. You know, before the Lord, I say before, you know, because it's our minds, we have to think of it that way. You know, when he left eternity and came to this earth, you know, he had to leave eternity. Eternity has no beginning, no end. It's eternity, right? He had all the time with God. You know, that's how we talk in facts of time, and we have to have an ending, a beginning and an end and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to try to bog down too much in trying to figure out eternity, because it's eternal. But when Jesus left that, you know, he always enjoyed fellowship with the Father openly. We don't have that open fellowship with him like he has in eternity, like he has in heaven. But while he was here, he spent much time in prayer, talking to his Father, talking to God, communing with him, if you will. And that's a wonderful example to us. Do we want to spend some time with God? Do we want to visit with the Lord, if you will? You know how you have a good friend that comes by and visits, and you just want to stay up all night long visiting with him because you don't know when you're going to talk to him the next time. Well, we don't have to worry about that. We can talk to God whenever we want to, wherever we are. They keep talking about taking prayer out of certain things, like taking prayer out of schools and wherever, but they can never really take it away. There's nobody who can take that from you. You could always talk to the Lord. I've heard it said that prayer is a show of dependence on the Lord. And one thing that's kind of opposite of prayer is pride. Pride is where we show our independence of God. When we say, well, I'm not going to bug the Lord with that, or I don't need to go to the Lord in prayer about this, or we try to make decisions without seeking him in prayer, if we try to do it on our own, that's showing our independence. That's exercising independence from God. And I tell you, sometimes I feel the Lord has just allowed me to do it. Fine. Go for it. And hopefully, when I come to my senses, maybe my face is flat on the ground, I realize that I should not have tried to go it alone. I need to exercise my dependence on the Lord, my dependence upon him. One of the things about coming to this house, you know, whether it be a Wednesday night or Sunday morning or any time this house doors are open, we should always come to it. Even the Lord himself. Do you remember the time when he went into the temple and drove out the money changers? You know, and he said that, you know, my house shall be called a house of prayer. This is a place where much prayer needs to be. Now, thankfully, we don't have to come here just to pray. But while we are here, you know, it's like when you're sitting out there, because I've been on both ends of the spectrum now. You know, I've been up here, and then I've been out there. But when we're out there, we need to be much in prayer as well. Because without the blessings of the Lord, the man that's up here to try to speak the word is not going to be blessed unless he has the prayers of those he loves and unless the Lord himself blesses him to bring forth the message. Sometimes I wish I could talk. Y'all don't have a problem with that, do you? Of course not. Yeah, it's just me. But to bring forth the message, I tell you, a good song service, it really, really helps. You know, when you feel like everybody's engaged and everybody's singing from the heart and you hear it and you just feel like the Spirit is with you. And then a heartfelt prayer going forth, and sometimes you just feel like everybody's praying with us. And that's the thing about public prayer, is when somebody, either if they get up here or they pray where they're sitting or whatever, they're leading us in prayer. Like the song leader, he's leading us in song. Well, the person that prays publicly and openly is one that's supposed to be leading us in prayer. So we all need to be praying together, because this is the house of prayer. And I love so much the lesson that the Lord has given us in Matthew chapter 6 about how to pray. how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord is speaking and said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love praying, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now, when I said somebody coming up here and leading us in public prayer, that's different than somebody that's on the streets and in the synagogues and trying to be seen of men, trying to boast their prayers and trying to make themselves look good. I tell you, there's been some folks that have come and walked up and knelt down up here or knelt down at their seat, heavy, humble hearts have led us in prayer. Some folks, you can see tears streaming down their face. They're not praying to be seen of men. They're praying to the Lord that he would bless the ones whose names have been called. Praying that the Lord would bless the man to speak the message. Praying that the Lord would heal our land. So the Lord was telling us, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't pray just to be seen. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to be standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men." And when he says they have their reward, those kind of prayers, the Lord's not going to honor those. Because you've been seen of men, people think that you're a very religious person or whatever, there's your reward. And that's where it ends. But remember back in James, we said the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember how the Pharisee and the publican? That old Pharisee was like, "Lord, I do all these things for you. I'm so good. Can't you just see that it's just puffing up?" We would never do anything like that, right? We're never like that. We also need to confess our faults one to another. But he's prayed within it, you know, prayed out or outwardly and said, "Even I'm, you know, not like this publican. Thank you that I'm not like this publican over here." But that publican, who I believe was a child of God, couldn't even look and raise his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, "Forgive me, a sinner like me." Jesus said that man went down to his house justified. So it makes a difference on how we pray. You know, I've heard some people say that they don't like to pray, or they hope and pray that nobody calls on them to publicly pray because they don't quite know what to say, or they don't know exactly how to formulate the words. Well, I get that. You know, I understand some of that. But I tell you, it's not so much the words, but the heart. Just like when you're praying, it's not so much about the posture of the body, but the posture of the heart. So if the heart is filled with pride, puffing oneself up, telling the Lord what great things he's done for him. Tell you, I get really tired of hearing somebody telling me all the great things they've done for God. But you know, the folks that may not have a lot of the world's goods, some people may be suffering some bad afflictions, but they got a smile on their face. And all they want to tell you is how great God has been to them. Those are the prayers that he hears. Those are the prayers that he answers. So it matters on how we pray. Verse 6 in Matthew chapter 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Will reward thee openly. Now, a lot of people talk about this prayer closet. Well, you know, I've heard some people say, well, that's just ridiculous to go get in a closet somewhere or something like that. Well, you know what? If that's what you have to do to shut the world out for a little while and get alone and get some peace and quiet, and it helps you pray as you should, so be it. But I'm thankful I don't have to go and get everything out of my closet, because I don't know if y'all's closet is like mine, but it's pretty full of stuff. I can't really get in there. But the thing about it is, he says, when thou hast shut the door, you can do that in a crowded room. You can do that, and I've heard you say several times, be on a crowded airplane. You can shut the door and pray to the Lord. You can go to the Lord in prayer wherever you are. It doesn't matter what's going on. You can pray while driving down the road. I recommend with the eyes open. But you have that ability. You can pray wherever you are. But the thing about it is to shut the world out. That's like when we come to the church house, we have doors. Yeah, these doors have locks, but while we're here, they're unlocked. We're not trying to keep people out, but it's nice to have that idea that we shut the door, shut the world out for a little while. We live in the world so much as it is, there's always going to be around us. Isn't it a wonderful blessing to have a time set aside, especially now in the middle of the week, that we can come and shut the door and dwell in the house of prayer? So he says, when thou prayest, not if you pray, no, when you pray, we need to be praying. But when thou prayest, enter there into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He hears, he understands. And about the whole thing about the formulating the words, we don't even have to worry about that. If we're so burdened down, we can't even formulate the words. The Spirit that dwells within us helps us. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard of their much speaking. You hear about all those times you have a chant and you want to be as loud as you possibly can. You got a formula that you got to say. Just say it just right. And you're hoping that whoever you're chanting to is going to hear you because of your much speaking. You know, you have to get everything just right. Well, I just said our Lord understands. I saw a picture one time about, it's like a little board or whatever. It had those little letters that you can put in no matter how you want to. And it says, Dear God. And just had a just a bunch of letters just thrown on there. Amen. And the next line was, Dear Child, I understand. Because he understands. He knows exactly what we need. We can't acquaint him with anything anyway. There's nothing I'm gonna surprise him with. I mean, there's a lot of things that come down the pipeline that might be a surprise to me, or I get blindsided by something, but thanks be to God, nothing's going to blindside him. Nothing's going to surprise him. I can't acquaint him with anything. He knows it all. So we don't have to use these vain repetitions. We don't have to make sure the formula is just right. I tell you, it's just about our heart and the humbleness of mind. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. I take great comfort in knowing that. I take great comfort in knowing that He already knows. I tell you, there's been blessings in my life that I look back on and I see that, you know, that blessing I received had been working, had been in the works for a long time. Probably even before I even knew I had a problem. And again, why am I surprised? Why did I not believe? Why didn't I spend much time in prayer? You know, we have those times of prayer, and there's different kinds of prayers. There's the, should have the daily prayers, and we have the prayers for those we love. And then we have those sudden prayers. You know, when things come upon us and we have those sudden prayers. I think the shortest prayer we have recorded in the Bible is uttered by Peter. Lord, save! It says, be not therefore like unto them, like the heathens. Your Father knoweth what things ye have in need of before you ask. So like we sang that song, once more, the time of prayer is here. It's here. It's now. When's the best time to pray? Now. When's the best time to pray? When you wake up. As soon as you wake up. I've even said sometimes, you know, even pray to the Lord before you even reach for your first cup of coffee. I like the example about if you're going to be playing in a concert, you don't tune up the instrument after the concert's done. You tune it up before because you want it to sound right. You want it to be ready. Well, that's how we tune up this mind of ours. That's how we tune up ourselves, our heart, and our mind before we face the day. Go into the prayer closet. And go ahead and ask of the things of the Lord because He already knows. Verse 9, after this manner, so all these steps, all these things about how we're to pray, it's not so much about the posture of the body, it's about the posture of the heart. We shouldn't be as the heathens do. We're not trying to be seen of men. It's about how humble we are and how fervent it is. And He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And we're known this, some people, I hear it all the time as the Lord's Prayer, but I like to use the model prayer. This is a model for us. You know, there's nothing wrong with repeating these words. There's nothing wrong with reciting this prayer. But it's not about our much speaking, right? It's not about the certain words that we're saying, but He says, after this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right then and there, right off the bat, how are we to pray? We are to pray, come humbly before Him, recognizing that He is our Father who art in heaven, far above me. I'm nothing. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I hear all the time, it says on earth. King James clearly says in earth. We are His earthen vessels, and His will shall be done in us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done exactly right in heaven. Do we always do the will of God? Sounds like we need to be praying more that His will be done in earth. The more our mind is focused on Him, the more we are, I know we have scripture that says we can come boldly before the throne of grace, but that is not arrogantly. That's with confidence, knowing that he hears, knowing that he's able to help, knowing that he's there. You know, when some growing up or whatever, if you have a problem, you know, you run for mom and daddy or something like that. Well, maybe mom and daddy's not around. You know, maybe they're at work, or maybe they're not where you thought they were. You know, that's kind of a scary thing when the children go. Like, there's one time, James, we were outside playing. Well, I was doing some work, and he was out there playing, and he couldn't see me. And I just hear James crying. And I go around, I'm trying to look for where he is or whatever, and finally I saw him. He found me, and we came up there and rubbed and hugged my neck, and he says, "I lost you, Daddy." I tell you, that hurt. I was just on the other side of the shed. They said, "I lost you." It's a scary feeling. But not so with the Lord. Not so with the Lord. There may be times where I feel like I can't see him. But he can always see me. He can always hear me. Sometimes I go through periods in my life where I feel like my prayers don't get above my head. Go through those dry spells and feel like I'm far from the Lord. But I can still call upon him. But I need to get my mind back right and pray in this manner, recognizing that he is high and lifted up. And then I need to be asking for his will to be done in me. Verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, yes, obviously we need food. I understand that, and he understands that. He knows us. He made us. He knows we need food. There's more to it, to this daily bread, than just food. He is the bread of life. The words that he has given us, his word, his written word. I tell you, if you're wanting to try to tune up your mind and your heart, the best way to do that is go to the Lord in prayer and read some of his word. Reading his word. Biggest problem, I guess, that people have with reading the Bible, the biggest complaint, I guess, I hear is, "Well, I just don't understand it." Well, how many times did you try? I mean, really and honestly, how many times have you tried to read it? How many times have you gone to read it? And when you are reading it, are you reading it because you're wanting to know? Or have you, when's the last time you asked the Lord to give us this day? Give me this day my daily bread. We need to be asking him for guidance, for wisdom, for reading his word, reading his instruction. That's one of those promises we have in the Bible. "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you," right? I tell you, some folks can twist those scriptures around. And a lot of people have gotten their hearts broken. A lot of people get upset. "Well, I prayed for a Lamborghini and I didn't get one." Well, did you go outside and crank up your car and it actually cranked up? Actually got to work? Sounds like you have what you need. But if our mind's not in the right place, we skip over blessings after blessing after blessing. But if we're keeping our mind on the Lord, it's high and lifted up, I need to be asking for his will to be done in me. And how do we know of his will? By partaking of this daily bread. Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You had to throw that one in there? Oh yeah. It's important. It's a mindset. It's how we're to be. If we're to honestly be praying for one another, if this is to be a house of prayer, we need to have the right mindset. in reading His Word, learning from His Word, is how we can renew our mind, as we read in Romans chapter 12. The renewing of our mind each and every day. And forgive us our debts. How much debt has the Lord forgiven us? Man. He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I read that, and I'm thinking about that parable about the man that went before his Lord, and he had a debt of 10,000 talents. That's just a, how do you rack up that much debt? But you know, he begged for mercy, and the Lord granted him mercy and forgave his debt. Didn't just say, no, I'll give you some more time. No, he forgave the debt. It's gone. It's forgiven. But instead of going home rejoicing and being thankful and trying to spread that around, he goes and takes hold of somebody and grabs him around the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. Well, we know what happens after that. When the Lord found out about that, he was thrown into prison, him and his family, until the debt was paid. So that means he's never getting out. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's important for us to learn that forgiveness. It's a big subject. We don't have the time to go into that subject tonight, but it's a big subject. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not saying that what something's done to us was okay. It's a release for us. We need to forgive our debtors. In verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, first and foremost, if we're going to recognize evil, we need to know what it is. You know, the world would say, well, you have to experience all this kind of stuff to know what's bad and what's wrong. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. I hear that all the time. People talk about their kids or whatever. Well, I just let them do whatever they want to, and they'll find out what's right or what's wrong. That is the most detrimental parenting tool in the world. The Bible clearly lays out what is right and what is wrong. You know, I don't believe in predestination of all things. I'm not an absoluter. But if God says it's wrong, it's absolutely wrong. There's no shades of gray here. It's wrong. And again, comes back to give us this daily bread. Hey, again, from His Word, we're learning these things. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's evil all around. It's ever present. We need to be delivered from it. And when our mind is right, when we're focused on the Lord, when we're praying to Him on a daily basis, when we're praying for Him, seeking His guidance, reading His Word, I tell you, those pitfalls that we see, we'll be able to see them a lot farther out. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It can help us. It's beneficial for us. You know, remember 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's good for us. But deliver us from evil. He says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This model prayer starts off with recognizing that He is hallowed be thy name, and ends with, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He's so far above us. He has given us a wonderful example, wonderful tool to use, if you will, on how to pray. And leading up to that, we know that it's about a posture of this whole heart. If this whole heart is puffed up in pride, then we're going to start going out about our way and exercising our independence from the Lord. But when we're humbled and know how much we've been forgiven, go back and read in His Word and learn of Him and see how much He has given us, how much He loves us, how much He cares for us each and every day. Why would I try to go it alone? We have that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." This is a friend that's always on the line, always ready to hear. But keep in mind, I don't like the phrase "the man upstairs." I don't like that. I think it's irreverent. I do think we can think of him as a friend. And when you hear somebody talking to the Lord as he was a friend, that's fine. But remember, pray in this manner: "Hallowed be thy name." So yes, prayer is a powerful tool. Prayer is a wonderful thing we have. But it makes a difference on how we pray. Not so much the words, but how our heart is. And always remember that when we are lifted up in pride, even though we may be puffed up in pride from time to time, things we do wrong or stumble and fall, the Lord's always there. We have a direct line with Him. I like to think about the "seek the Lord while He may be found." Well, Lord's not lost. He's never lost. But I can stray and lose my way from time to time. But I still think about my favorite verse. And it may change from the years to come. But right now, my favorite verse, and I've already said it, Psalm 119:105, "Thy word, lamp under my feet." I love to think about that lamp like an old kerosene lantern. You know, it's not a spotlight. You know, some people say, "Well, I wish I could see the future," or whatever. Well, that spotlight, you could see a lot farther. But that word is a lamp under my feet. It illuminates where I am. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And when we're exercising ourselves in prayer, we're exercising ourselves in dependence on the Lord. And when we're praying in the right manner, the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and stand before you. And I hope and pray that we'll take this more serious. And I know this is probably not very familiar to all of you. But it never hurts to have a reminder every once in a while on how to pray. Because it's in the Word of God. And I remember, I think it's Luke's account, where the disciples came to the Lord and says, "Teach us to pray." It never hurts to be reminded every once in a while on how to pray. May the Lord bless you.